We're learning this maimer from the Chalban on Bitach and Hishtadlus, and we saw a Torah last week from Rabbi Nachman that the Chalban is explaining. That's what we're up to. So the paragraph beginning, it's page Tav Kuf Lamed Beis. The paragraph, it's on top. It begins with the words. It says that the heading is Lehishayin Rak Al Hashem. We started that, and then we were rudely interrupted by Jews that wanted to document. So let's just pick up from the beginning of that paragraph again. Tav Kuf Lamed Beis, where it says Lehishayin Rak Al Hashem. In Kain, Ha'uvde Shehadam Nismach Al Dvar Machayim. The fact that a person relies upon and trusts other people, other factors that he's learned to depend on, conditions and circumstances, friends, family, economy, b'chulu. Is because we have this way of looking at our familiar surroundings as mechuiva metzias. Remember from Rabbi Nachman's Torah, ki'ilu, it's something that has to be. It was yesterday we got up, so today we have to get up. That's the mechuiva metzias. There are people that didn't get up today. Hashem yirachem. The bank or the rates, whatever, was a certain way, and the stam is going to be. And so it is with the people and every other thing in life that we rely upon. We have this way of making this fatal error of looking at things as mechuyev hametzias. Ki'ilu it has to be. When we learn that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechuyev hametzias, nothing else is mechuyev hametzias. And if there's any, and we learn from Rabbi Nachman that whatever the mechuyev hametzias of reality now, it's only because Am Yisrael is mechuyev hametzias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us in such a way. We don't have to go into that right now. But if Emes, Eich Yuchal Adam Lismach Al Kshar Vim Adam Mesuyim, how could a person depend on his connections to a person and to feel completely, completely trusting of that person? That person's entire existence is not mechuyev metzias. His opinion of things is certainly not a mechuyev metzias. So how do you depend on him? Because he has a good record. So if a person has a good record and they have good statistics, so then it becomes, in our minds, it becomes mechuyev hametzias. Kate said, "Yuchal leishayin alav." How could you rely upon him? V'chein tzarich adam ladat shakadosh baruch hu hamishenes shelanu. The Rebbeinu Shlom is the only one that we could rely upon. V'chol eis v'shah yochal ha'adam lifnei z'elav yisbaruch leishayin alav. At any moment, any time, he's always there, and we could always rely upon him. Again, relying upon him, as I said last week, doesn't mean that it's going to turn out the way we want. But there's no question that he's mechuyev metzias and he has no ulterior motives. Ulam kadesh yuchal hadam leishan al Hashem Yisbarach, hutzarach levatal me'atzma kol mishenes achers. Now here's the trick. In order to be able to rely entirely upon Hashem, which we call bitachin, one has to be prepared to turn away from everything else that he's relying upon. That doesn't mean to turn away, God forbid, and not to have any shaychus to anything, but it means not to rely upon anything else. Shekol oid levava pona v'samech al davar zulas Hashem Yisbarach. As long as the person's heart is turned towards and relying upon something besides Hashem, ein hu be'emes nismach al Hashem. Then the person's not, be'emes is not relying on Hashem. It's not you're relying on other stuff and Hashem. That's not how it works. As long as even in the hidden part of your heart, hunirga, you're calm, ubateach, and you're filled with trust, biglal kol mina sibos chitzonius, because of all different things. Again, people make promises, the economy, and all the other stuff. Come up in the other, like you're trusting in people. A moment, or you're trusting the fact that you have a certain amount of money, so what's the problem? Everything's okay. V'chadayma, and so on. Hine, as long as you're relying upon that, hine be'emes lahigi'a l'midas ha'bitachan ha'shlema Shadereshes mehodam lahavshit me'atzmai kol hisamchus v'kol hishanus al kol davar ba'olam. That means you haven't really reached the true midah of bitachon. The fact that you say imhitz Hashem and bez Hashem, that's nice, but that really that has nothing to do, or very little to do, with the true midah of bitachon. As long as you're depending and relying on other external factors, you have not reached the complete level of bitachon. Shadereshes me'adam, because the complete true level of bitachon is dereshes me'adam. It demands from a person lahavshit me'atzmo, to tear away from himself, to strip off of himself kol hisamchus, any relying upon anything else, kol hishanus, depending upon anything else, al kol davar ba'olam lo al b'riyas gufo, not to be dependent upon the fact that you were, just because thank God we're healthy yesterday, that it means that things have to be the same tomorrow. V'lo amamono, certainly not on one's money, one's wealth. V'lo aksharav, or the connections. V'lo on the chosev, or one's possessions, belongings. V'kishvanaisav, and one's talents and skills. K'lo l'kal ma'meiret, so lo l'gibar ma'molchama, v'gam l'chacham lechem. You find people that are calm, that means that they run very quickly. That doesn't mean that they're going to be able to continue running. Just because someone's a gibor doesn't mean that he's a courageous warrior, powerful warrior. The outcome of the war does not depend upon this guy and his skills. And you could have a person who's the biggest chacham and he doesn't have what to eat. Be the smartest guy in the world, and he loses all of his money, but doesn't have any money. However, it's very hard to do this. In other words, what the Chaban is saying is that we're being taught by Chazal. And we're going to see how all of this helps us to understand what happened with Yaakov Avinu and Yosef Tzadik and Avraham Avinu. We're being taught that in order for a person to reach a madreg of true bitachon, he has to let go of everything else that he relies upon. He has to let go, not to rely upon, not to depend upon. Without that making you into a person who goes crazy. In other words, if you're going to wake up every day and say, "How do I know that maybe I need to go get a checkup today? I have to go to the doctor's office because I can't depend upon the fact that I was healthy yesterday. How do I know I'm going to be healthy today? Maybe something's wrong with me today." So a hypochondriac, everybody tells me, have bitachon. So have bitachon in who? If it means having bitachon in his body, that his body's functioning, it was good yesterday, it's going to be good today, that bitachon is a mistake. Because as far as the human body is concerned, it's unreliable. It's not a mechuyev metzias. And the fact that it's worked for 35, 40, 50, 60 years doesn't mean that it's going to be okay the next day. So if the bitachon is because he trusts that his body is going to continue today as it did yesterday, that's a ridiculous mistake. The body's not a mechuyev metzias. Life is not a mechuyev metzias. If he trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem knows what he's doing with him. Now here the trick is, so then what hishtadlus does he make? So does it mean he shouldn't go for a checkup at all? So they tell the guy, you know, you're 50 years old, you need to get, every now and then, you need to get this kind of checkup, that kind of checkup, colonoscopy, you need to have checkups. You're already, you know, at that age, you need to go to the doctor. So now this guy says, Kiv Hashem kodesh b'tachna, I don't have to, because I trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem is mechuyev hametzias. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechuyev hametzias, and you trust in him, does that... relieve you of the responsibility to go to take care of your health? So we're going to learn that of course it doesn't, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to make a normal hishtadlus. Now that's where it gets tricky. What's the normal hishtadlus and what's excessive hishtadlus? What's excessive hishtadlus? So but as far as the person relying upon the fact that he was healthy yesterday, let's leave God out of this equation for a moment. Just because he was healthy yesterday, and there's a cheskes aguf, there's a chazaka, that mistam I'll be healthy today, that's insane. Varaya, Lots of people die all the time. Different ages. People are sick or not well. Hashem Yirachem. Now this avodah of bittul, of letting go, and not relying upon anything of this world, this is very hard. Why? Because the person's senses and physical nature deny the presence of God, contradict God's presence. That's what it seems like. We don't see Hashem. Or like I've mentioned many times, they say from different tzaddikim, but it seems that was Rav Natali Rapshitz, at least that's where I first saw it, that Rav Natali Rapshitz said, Rabbi Yishlom, if we would see Gehenna with our eyes, and the Yetzirah would be only something we would read about in Reishis Chachma, then we'd all be good. The problem is, we read about Gehenna in Reishis Chachma, but the Taiv is, the Yetzirah is, we see with our eyes. So that's the problem. The Rav Shlomo was saying, the problem is that the Taiv is, this world, we see with our eyes. Hashem is Baruch, we see with our neshamas, with our hearts, with our neshamas in our mind's eye, but we don't see with our eyes. So you're asking a person, let go of that which he sees before his eyes, and trust in that which he doesn't see, or he's never heard from. Now, you understand, someone trusts his boss because he speaks to his boss 10 times a day. He's here. Okay, so in that case, Gehenim is before your eyes. The boss is, I don't need to say the boss is Gehenim, but he's in front of your eyes. So you trust him. You know that you can get through with him. Phone, email, whatever it is, Twittering, whatever, Facebook, something. You could take a helicopter, be lowered into his house. There's a way to get through to him. But the Baruch Shalom is on Facebook, is on Twitter, not email. Gornish. He sent the email to God. Gornish, Gornish, nothing. You don't get back. So you say to a person, be mavatal everything else. The guy has a million things that he's trusting in. Be mavatal all of that, and have be talking in something that someone you've never heard from, you've never seen. Like in Rabbi Nachman's story, when he goes around the Chacham and the Tam, the clever man and the simple man. So the Chacham goes around asking people, he says, did you ever see the king? He goes to the capital city and there are soldiers. Did you ever see the king? He says, we work for the king. I didn't ask you. Did you ever see the king? We never saw the king ourselves, but you know, we know he's in the palace. Then he asks people someone works in the palace, did you ever see the king? I never saw myself the king, but I know that. So he says, forget, there's no king. This whole thing is baloney. There's no king. He interviews a few people, and they said, we never saw the king ourselves. So he says, there's no king. But the simple person, just believes the king is there. He got a letter from the king. The other one said, that can't be from the king. Somebody else wrote this letter. It's not from the king. The simple person says, no, I got it from the king. Straight from the king. The two different ways of looking at Hashgacha Pratis. One person says, that's not from the king. The other person says, no, it's straight from Hashem. Hashem did that. So, this is a hard thing. Reality says there's no God. And reality places before our eyes a false world, meaning a lie. A lie. All physical matter exists. It's tangible, you could touch it. But when we speak about Hashem, and spiritual light and so on, it's not here. It disappeared. It's not here. Maybe we heard stories about it, but we don't see any of this. Hamatefes achomris, this physical covering of all reality, this covering of everything that exists, geremes lanu, lachshoiv shagashmis kivyochal noichuchav v'chazaka. It causes us to come to one conclusion: Gashmis exists. My Yetzer Hara exists. So there are people that make a simple cheshbon. The Gashmi is 1,000% exists. There's no question. I see it. I can touch it. I smell it. It exists. This Indian of Olam Haba and God and Ruach Nias, I never saw it. So, applying the principle of Ein Sofik Motzim Tevadai in Halacha, right? The whole business the person says about Ruach Nias, spirituality and God, I never saw it. It's a Sofik. As far as my Yetzirah, what it's telling me, and the Yetzirah points to some girl down the hall, as far as I could see, that thing exists. So, why should I take a Sofik over a Vadai? I might as well go with a short bet. The sure bet I see before my eyes. That's the Yetzer. That's a sure bet. I see it before my eyes. As far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, we're told about him, we read about him, it's got a lot of stuff. You know, if you Google God, there's probably a lot of things on God. But Lemais, if you ask any of the people that are working at Google, I don't know if there's such a place called Google, but I guess there's an office somewhere. If you ask them, so they'll say, did you ever see God? You have 4 million people, whatever, that are Googling God. You ever see God? So the people that work, they say, we never saw personally. You never saw God? You have 4 million sites over here. 4 million people looked up God today. Yeah, but we never saw him. So the problem here, of course, is obvious. That many people come to the conclusion that Hagashmi is kivyachal mechachas v'chazaka. The Gashmi is strong, and it's right in front of my eyes. Here it is. Mutzaka ma'od, solid, very solid. V'yitziva ma'od, stable and solid. V'ilo ha'olam haruchni aviri. The spiritual world is aviri, which means ethereal. I guess nowadays they would say it's fluff. What is it? Aviri is the word avir. It's in the air. What is it? What are you talking about? Show me something. Where is it? Umolei cholal v'rek chalila. It seems to be empty space. What spiritual? Where is it? What? You can't touch it. You can't see it. See how people have such mishigas with the occult. Or like when your kids are watching all these, you know, about ghosts and all these things, the shigainas that people have with things that you can't see with your eyes, all that comes from a tremendous, tremendous rotzen to be able to see Hashem's baruch. So people become obsessed, just like they were with the Egel HaZav, they wanted to make something that you could see. So this ghost is such a chash of a ghost, nobody should know about this ghost. But all the ghost stories about how the ghosts make themselves known to people, that's what all the movies are about, that you could, like, see the ghost. People want very much to have some contact with what's beyond the physical world. So they do all kinds of things to try to make contact with beyond the physical world. But the bottom line is that the Metzius is a Metzius. So you see with your eyes. Didn't I tell you recently the story with the Devi Chaim, with his son, when he was coughing, right? So he didn't. He was in a place of vacancy, and he didn't like that his son. They were worried about him. They woke him up, and he was coughing. They didn't like that they woke him up from his vacancy. So he said that they want, because the rabbis wanted him to have soup or something. So the rabbi said, the Rebbe said that in Atzilus we don't have soup. You know, in the higher realm of Ruchnis we don't have soup. And the Shinev, his son, said, in Atzilus they don't cough, but you're coughing. So mommy wants you to have some soup. So you might have been someplace on a trip, but you're coughing. And the Rebbe sent you some soup. You're coughing. You have to have soup. So you'd like to cure the coughing with like we were learning in the Sichas Aran, with some Mishnayos, right? We learned the other day. To have a couple of Kiplach Tilim for breakfast and to munch on a couple of Mishnayos. Which Rabbi Nachman says, Ashrecha, that you could fill yourself with Mishnayos and Tehillim. But the truth is, you can't. If a person doesn't eat, he's not going to be able to survive. So, Kivyochel, Aruchnis, Yikamo Anan Bak V'Kolish. Aruchnis, Kivyochel, is like some sort of a cloud. Vagashmi, Yikamo Yisela Yatsuk V'Kaim. And Gashmi is like a rock. like a boulder, like a, I'm not sure what Gashmi is. So you're asking somebody, don't trust in the rock. Trust in the cloud. Or you ask somebody, tell somebody to jump off. He's standing on a cliff, and you ask him to jump in the clouds, and the clouds will take care of him. He says, right now I'm on the cliff. I know that this Masha Batua. I'm standing on the cliff. I'm okay. To jump into the clouds. But this is how we feel. We feel that Ruchnius is something that doesn't have true existence. That's our problem. That's why we don't really have Bitachin. Because at the end of the day, as much as we talk about Hashem, and we say Baruch Hashem, Beza Hashem, and Yitz Hashem, it's like a cloud. It's not something which that we feel is absolutely solid and real. Not solid and real. There's no reality. He's the only Mechuyev HaMetzius. That's what we learned from Rabbi Nachman and the Rambam. He's the only Mechuyev HaMetzius. So he's saying that Gashmi is the mountain, the rock, that's not Mechuyev HaMetzius. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who I can't see, is Mechuyev HaMetzius. Without that perspective, a person can't come to true bitachon. They're different madregas of bitachon. That's what he explains. The Dovah says, "Afilo hamada hafizi." He says, "The emes is that even physical reality is not what we think it is. It's not what we see with the eyes." The Dovah says, "Afilo hamada hafizi yochel karev ladaz." We can understand this. Why? Shkeinayde shakol achayim kemat reik mamish. That chomer, physical matter, that is almost entirely empty. Because what we're looking at now, or we're leaning on now, is a physical table. And this table, if you bang it, it's solid, and you could stand on it, and you could keep things on it. But the truth is that we now know from science that the table is mostly not solid. Not just mostly. It's the vast majority of the table is not solid. It's atomic matter, particles, whatever, that's moving at such a rate that it gives us the impression of this, of the way that we feel it and the way that we see it. But it's not bamis, it's not filled. It's not filled. It just feels that way, it looks that way. I don't know how to explain, because I don't know these things, but I'm sure you know more about it than I do. But that's the metzias of the world. We now understand it's not the way that it looks at all. When we see a big mountain, it's tiny little molecules, whatever, atoms, that are revolving around what's mostly the vast majority of which is empty space. All the electrons and stuff, they're moving around, it's empty space. The truth is that the whole world is like a fan. A big fan. Now, kshaodem istakel al ma'aver poil, when you look at the fan when it's working, near lo shel kulei igul molei, it looks like it's a circle. It's a complete circle. When you look at the fan, you see a circle. Rakashu netzar, but if you stop the fan, the nika shebetzem elu knafayim sheyesh b'nein habayavir, then you see that there's just a couple of pieces, but mostly in between, it's mostly air. But when you have it on the fan, it looks like a solid mass and a circle. When you turn it off, it's not a solid thing at all. It's not a circle at all. It's a couple of pieces of things. And when it's on, it looks like a circle, and it looks like it's solid. Rak biglal hatnuah hamehira, only because of the speed at which it's moving, nirish hakol chaymer. It looks like it's all chaymer, like it's solid mass. But it's not. It's absolutely not. And that's before you get to electrons and stuff. It's just in a very obvious way. It looks like it's something which is solid. And if you never knew what a fan was and you just kept looking at it and you would be watching this thing, you would say, there's a mass of material that's solid. Then when you turn it off, you say, oh, there's only three pieces that were spinning. And in between is all air. All around it is air. So we see that even in the mushal of this world, even the muscle of this world, it's not the way the world is not the way it looks. So what we rely upon as something which is mechuyev mitzias, bechlal is not that mitzias. Kacha olam hu kemat l'loy chay mebemes. The entire world is kemat without anything solid. K'meshishiru chachmei ha-physika, that the chachmei ha-physika say, of physics say, Shim Yidachsu, that if we would condense, as Kol HaChaymesh Shal Migdal Eiffel B'Tzarfas, that if you would condense all of the material, all of the solid mass of the Eiffel Tower in Paris, Hayuchali comes into a Kufsa Ketani, you put into a little box. You put into a little box. Like you had that inside the body. I just remember from school that there was, that if you unwrap the intestine or something, If you unfold the intestine, I don't know how it's like. I don't know. It's very, very, very big. It's very, very long. I don't remember how long it is, but it's very long. So they say that if you take this huge thing, the Eiffel Tower, the emesis of what it is, as far as solid mass. Now, yes, what do you mean this solid? You knock on it, it's all, the whole thing is solid. We're talking about the emesis, what it is. And you knock on the fin, it's also solid. Bam is what it is. So the scientists say that you could put it into a little box. The whole Eiffel Tower would be in a little box. The rest of it is air, space, oxygen. But because of the speed of electrons and stuff, it gives the impression of solidness. Is that, I don't know. There's better words for it. But it gives that impression. I'm saying it's all wrong, what I'm saying. You know science?
No, I don't know.
Somebody here know science a little bit? Nobody? Okay. So now continue with the nonsense. You can put it into a little box. It's not nonsense. That's the mitzvahs. You put it into a little box. The whole Eiffel Tower goes into a little box. Kach shebekol hamigdol hagavo hazeh, in this whole big building, the tower, the Eiffel Tower, yesh kamus chaymer afsis mamish. The amount of actual chaymer is like zero. Kekufsa ketana, like a little box. But since the atoms are moving so quickly, we see before our eyes, and you can walk on it and step on it and crash into it, that it's a migdal mutzak, that it's solid, and dense, filled and dense. Just like a fan that's moving quickly. It's just like a fan that's moving quickly. And you're sure that the fan is complete solid, because if you take something and you throw it at the fan, it'll bounce off. So you say, what? Why doesn't it go in between? It should go in between. It's mostly air. The fan is mostly air, not solid. So then I should be able to take something, a ball, and throw it, and it should go right through the fan. That doesn't happen. Unless it's like we used to have in the subways, remember the fans that they go like, you know, when it was 98 degrees and humid. Then you know, okay, you could time it. But otherwise, if you have a healthy fan and it's just zipping around, you throw something and it bounces off. So the conclusion is it's a solid mass. But even without atoms and molecules, that's not solid, it's mostly air. It's just moving quickly. Im kein. Afilo meimad hachoymer atzmai. Even physical matter that we could see with our eyes, it's kemat reik, it's almost empty. It's mostly, vast majority is just air. Veruba kukuloi eina elatnuas chalkikim dakim. Mostly it's these tiny little particles that are rushing. Therefore, any person that would come to make a competition between the physical world and the world of Deya Das and Machshava, of the mind, of the intellect, the world of Ruach and Neshama, Ruchnius, who'd sell Kolish, v'dohuilu umas teikef metziusam. The whole world, Bamis, is nothing compared to the Olamus of Ruchnius and Neshama. and machshavas and das. Elishachush mata oisanu, but our senses deceive us. Sha'ilum achaimri ashir umalei nechachus. That what? That the physical world is wealthy, is rich, and it's molei nechachus, meaning it's right here, it's present. Vila oilum hara yarnis, mashe anyken when it comes to thoughts. Oilum hamachshava, the world of machshava. Ha'ilum haruchni, the world of ruchnius. Hu aviriri, it's just, again, air, ethereal. V'dalil, it's just something like a puff, like a cloud. Fluff. But vein of a king. That's what we were talking about last year in the Chassidish on Monday nights, and Divrei Chacham ben Achaz is learning all about this. What the Baal Shem HaKadosh said, we'll talk about this on Shabbos a little bit. So it's nageya to the parasha, to Parshas Vayechi. But when the Baal Shem said that where a person's thoughts are, that's where he is. In Gashmi is you're sitting in New York. So Yudalev, you said, Libi b'mizrach, my heart is in the east in Yerushalayim. Ani b'marav, I'm in the west. But Libi b'mizrach. So the question is, Bamas, where's the person? So anybody would say, listen, your heart is in the Yerushalayim, your mind is in Yerushalayim, that's very sweet. But you're sitting in Spain. You're not in Yerushalayim. When Rabbi Yehuda Levi said, that ani b'mar, that physically I'm in the west, but libi, but my heart is mizrach. He was saying the etzem of who I am is b'emes in Yerushalayim. And the part of me that is air, that's the empty space, that occupies the physical emptiness of Spain. But libi b'mizrach, my heart is in Mizrach. Well, Baal Shem said that a person is where his thoughts are. He is where his thoughts are. You know, Mishnah on Shabbos, I'll explain this more. Not on the telephone. We'll talk about it on Shabbos. But a person is where his thoughts are. So somebody would hear you say and say, give me, what's this fluff? You are where your thoughts are. You're right here. You're here. What's here? That's the essence of the person. Going back to school, also, it used to be it was $1.98 worth of chemicals. That's what they said. The body was worth $1.98, but that's from like a 1963 textbook. And now it must be like $7 worth of stuff. $8 on how much the inflation is. So let's say a person's $10 worth of stuff. Whatever it is between what's the air and the water and the tissues and bones, whatever, it's a couple dollars worth of stuff. And that's the etzem of the person. So what the Halban is saying is the reason we have problems with bitachon is because we're being told trust in something that you don't see and give up your trust when it comes to things that you see. And the person feels, I can't do that. Because reality is what I see. And what I don't see, I don't feel is real. So we see even from the world itself, that's not true. And Cain, I feel a meimad ha-choymer atzma, he kimad reik mamish. That's what he's saying. Therefore, whenever a person is comparing what he sees with his eyes, physical reality, with the Eilamis and Ruchnis and so on, he feels that it's nothing, that Ruchnis is nothing. Adrab, he feels that Ruchnis, he could fold it all up and put into a little box. Gashmias, physical matter, it's big. It's very deep, this Torah. Marisa Kredish. Listen how he says this. Bekatnas Hadas. Rav Kook says that Bekatnas Hadas, with a small way of thinking, Bekatnas Hadas, Munach Eres Pnimi. There's a poison. A person who looks at things in a small way, in a way of Katnas, in that there's poison. Eres Pnimi, a deep inner poison. Why? Shenidma al yado, because the person imagines shakol hantoka minachol el akodesh hidchia miyeshus el absius. Rav Kook says the person imagines that any time that he separates himself from chol, from physical matter, from physical reality, and he heads towards el akodesh, towards the world of ruchnius, the person feels, the way he senses it is, that it's a dechiyah meyeshus al apsius, that he's pushing away yeshus, existence, and he's going to apsius. He's going into nothingness. That's how a person feels. You remember last week how I had such a ruach hakodesh that was going to be here by mincha that there'll be people looking on the iPhone the whole time mincha. Unfortunately, it came to be. So where does that come from? The feeling is that when it comes to this deal that I'm working on, or when it comes to what's on the iPhone, that's something that is yeshus, that has existence. It's real. What's mincha? Mincha is I'm saying some words like in thin air. Why? Because why am I doing that? Because when I was a kid, they told me that if I don't do that, like after I die and I'm going to be a neshama, I'm going to get into bad trouble. It's a very simple formula. I see this thing in front of my eyes, the iPhone, and the deal that it says on there, whatever else I'm looking at, whatever it could be, on the iPhone, that's my machine in front of my eyes. That has yeshus, it has existence. Mincha, I got to get over with, I don't want to get in trouble, but it doesn't have a yeshus. Where's God, and where are the words, and it says no yeshus. It doesn't have existence. It's not real. So if Cook says that a person who lives in a place of Katnas Hadas, this Katnas Hadas infuses this poison. What's the poison? The poison is that you have this feeling that whenever you stop relying upon, whenever you stop depending upon something of chol, something that's physical, of this world, and you turn instead to that which is kaidish, to that which is holy, hidchia miyeshus alafsius. You're leaving the world that's real, and you're going into something that is not real. That's the feeling that we have, because that's what our senses tell us. You're leaving something which is real, that's sitting in the cubicle working. You're leaving something which is real, and you're going to something which is not real. A person has a hard time getting to shul on time. It's hard to get to shul on time. Davening at Shabbos starts 8:30. Guy walks in every time, 9:15 to 9:00. With all the fancy things, what's going on, what's the problem, when he was young, his father yelled at him to go to shul, whatever it is. The bottom line is that Masha Batuach Batuach, you're sitting at the table on Shabbos morning, and it's cold outside, and the sun's coming in from the kitchen window, and you have a coffee and a piece of mezainis or something. I feel that. That's real. That's yeshus. What about in shul? Apsius. Apsius is Ephes, zero. Unless you can find some good gashmis in shul. That explains the Kiddush clubs and the importance of Kiddush. And I was talking to somebody that opened up a shtiebel somewhere, and he told me, he said that he has a very, very expensive thing with catering. He brings in every week how much they spend on cholent and kugel and other food. He said this way he gets the oilam comes for the food. Masha batuach batuach. But you know, the kiddush is not going to be until 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30. Until then, what is it? Ephes. I'm talking to thin air. I'm talking like a Mishigana. Well, now people are talking to thin air because they have Bluetooth. But I'm talking to thin air. Who am I talking to? What? He never spoke to me. I don't know what he is, God. I don't know. So I'm talking to thin air. Really, I just need to get there for Kiddush. But I understand I have to go. My wife will be disappointed. What the kid's going to think. And then I don't want to, you know, maybe there's something like Gehenna or something if you don't go. I don't want to get into all this stuff. So I'm not going to go at 8:30. I'll go like, whatever. I'll go 9 o'clock, 10, whatever. So I'll show up. But the main thing, of course, is Kiddush. And if there's any doubt about that, you could see how animated people are by Kiddush as opposed to Oz Yashir. They're generally much more animated by Kiddush than they are by Oz Yashir. They're getting into it more. Oz Yashir, Nishmas. The chiluk is that Kiddush is a Yeshus. Kiddush is Batuach. I know this caterer. I know this Kugel. I've had this 1,000 times, just on one Shabbos. I have had this 1,000 times, this Kugel. And I know that when I eat it, I know what it tastes like, and I like it. As far as davening is concerned, God is listening. He's going to do something. My tefillah is important. Lifts up the oilumas. I never saw any of these oilumas. I don't know what you're talking about. What oilumas? You tell me a lot of oilumas besides this. I never saw any oilumas. There are other worlds besides this world. I don't know what you're talking about. What worlds? Who lives in those worlds? Yeah, malachim and neshamas. Show me a malach. Show me a neshama. Well, you know, Ovis saw Malachim, Eishes Manoach saw a Malach. Okay, I never saw a Malach. I know what you're talking about. Like, I had a conversation with a kid. I was in one of the classes last week from an yeshiva from IBC, from that chaver. So I liked asking the Hebrew names. I never met these guys, and I was asking their name. So this is a very geschmackive boy. He says to me, his name is, he says, everybody's saying the Hebrew name. So he says, because they saw it, that's what I was there. So he says to me, Paul. I said, what's your Jewish name? He says, people call me Paul. He's getting like annoyed with me. I said, okay, Paul. What did they call you by your bris? He says, I wasn't there. I said, what? He says, I was there, but I don't remember. So, my name is Paul. I said, can I call you Pinchas? He said, you can call me anything you like, but my name is Paul. That was the conversation I had. I said to my wife, I was laughing to my mother, I was crying. The way he said it, he said, you can call me anything you like, but my name is Paul. What about the bris? I wasn't there. You were there? I don't remember. So it sounds funny because but the emes is, you can hear what he's saying. He says, yeah, there was some Indian about my Hebrew name, Pinchas, some Indian about it, but that's not my reality, that's not my world. That's your world, it's not my world. I live in a different world. I live in a silent, clear world of meat and potatoes, and in my world of meat and potatoes, you can't nash on some mishnayas, and you can't drink a couple of kibbutz tehillim, or else you're going to drop dead. That's what you're saying. That's the real world. And when people say to you, get real, right? The whole world thinks, how do you close up? So I was just coming here with somebody who was telling me that this B&H, where they sell electronics, I don't know if it's around here somewhere, but I was never there, but it's a big, big business. He told me they do, as possible, they do billions of dollars or something, this company. Can you imagine that there's a Metzias, he was telling me that the kind of business, and they close everything, I think he said Chalamoyd, and the Chalamoyd, they close up, Erev Shabbos, 2 o'clock or something, finished. This is not like a small time operation like over here. Right, so that's what he told me. So that you order on Shabbos, it's only chal after Shabbos with a credit card. So the whole world could be saying to these people, get real. And they're saying Shabbos is Shabbos, chalamay is chalamay. That's real to us. It's a big kiddush Hashem, such a thing. It's a big kiddush Hashem. What's real? But the sense is, what's Rav Kook is saying? When a person feels kol shakol hantaka minachol elakaydish, any time that I'm going out of, any time that I'm leaving chol, which is physical, and I'm going into kodesh, by going into shul, hidchiyam yeshus alavsius. I feel that I'm pushing away something, I'm leaving, rejecting something that's real, that's yeshus, and I'm going to what? Something which is not real. That's why people want to have real stuff in shul, like a kiddush and like a friend you could talk to and whatever stuff, real stuff. Because if it was just be an empty room, or if you're just in the middle of nowhere, who are you talking to?
Even
though our official acceptance of Ruchnias and simple emuna that we have from our parents and grandparents or great grandparents tells us otherwise. Those tells us that what? That Yiddishkeit Ruchnias Hashem is Yeshus, is real. Even if that's true, Shema said this is called Kaishel Gam Hanishbel Bekatnas. And this emuna, this belief that we got from our parents and grandparents, it helps even a simple person, even people of katnas, even people of smallness, because they have this belief that they received from their ancestors. Or like this person says, I don't want to go to Gehenna. They told me there's a Gehenna. I'm nervous about it. So that helps us, because even though we're in a place of terrible katnas, we're self-kosof. We have this Kabbalah that we received. So that helps. Rav Kook says it helps. Shema Sa'ed, this is called Kaishel. It could help a person who's stumbling. He holds on to that tradition that there's a God. But the truth is, in the essence of one's awareness, really, in terms of your feeling of reality, of awareness, it's missing the foundation of reality. Let me take it step by step. So the truth is, the atzmius, the real essence, which is ruchnius, which is the neshama, which is God, that illuminates the essence, the inner world of the Nishmas Adam. Shal Yodo HaNishama Tvua Kula Bakaros Al Yayna, that the Nishama has this great awareness, this awareness of something higher. Shekol HaTokim Min HaChol El HaKadosh, and from that perspective, when you leave physical reality, El HaKadosh, and you go into Kadosh, into Ruchnias, it's the opposite. You're running away from Churban. You're running away from nothing. In other words, when you shut down the stupid machine and you go to Mincha, then you're leaving Ephes and you're going into reality. Then you're leaving nothingness. You're leaving nothingness. It was the whole stupid thing with all these buildings. It's nothing. It's nothing. So you think, based upon the senses, you think that you're leaving something and you're going to Mincha, which is nothing. So why should you go to nothing? You might as well take a little something with you. But the emes is, you're leaving nothing, nothing. And you're going into that which is everything. Which is El Kenev El Kenev Seno, Boch Hashem, Magen Avraham, which is everything. Kibricha. When you leave, the truth is when you're going away from chol, from materialism, from something physical, and you're going to kodesh, truthfully, he bricha mi churban, it means you're escaping from churban, va'afsius, and nothingness, el ayishav hamilui va'yeshus akabir ve'sonah, into that which is full and truly exists, and its powerful and strong existence. El chayachan, you're running to the life of all life. To what is chiv mechuyav hametzius, to life of all life, ba'itzim mekariusam, in the strength of the source of all life, where everything comes from, Mincha is where everything comes from. Mahazroma shivasam hahomaya, and the powerful flow, mileas hamenucha v'ha'ois, that is filled with what? With menucha, with yishev adas, with menucha, with strength. When you live that way, that's what Bitachon gives a person. When you realize that that's nothing and this is everything. From this great understanding, from this great awareness, Bahoid Tiyurav Hanitzchim She'enam Paiskim. Bahoid Tiyurav Hanitzchim She'enam Paiskim, with the splendorous Tiyurav means descriptions or reality, Hanitzchim, that's Nitzchis, that's eternal. She'enam Paiskim, they never stop. There's no blackout. There's no end. There's no pause. Misgadelos hatfila betchunasa. When you have this way of the true way of looking at things, davening, he says, is a different davening. Davening becomes powerful. Misgadelos hatfila betchunasa. Then the tefillah is big, powerful tefillah. Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to on the iPhone? On the telephone? Who are you talking to on the iPod? Who are you Skyping? What are you FaceTiming, booking, whatever? Who are you talking to? What do you mean? I have it on my, it's on my list. I have the person on my list, and the name is shining. I press that thing on the thing, and it comes up, and I'm talking to that person. I go to Minchas Gornish. Nothing. Bitachon is not just about, like when you're going through, God forbid, a hard time, like when the chips are down, who can I rely on? It's a whole way of life. It's a whole way of living. It's a whole way of thinking. It shows up not just when you're in trouble, not just, God forbid, when you're sick. It shows up in every davening. It shows up in every decision that you make, with what your priorities are. To get up and go to shul, to be there on time, or not to go to shul, or to be there late. You're leaving the yeshus of the bed and you're going to the afsius of the shul. So Rav Kook says, "Misgadelos hatfila betchunasa." If you live in this way of what Bitachon really means, and you understand that there's only one thing that's mechuyav hametzias, and you connect yourself to the mechuyav hametzias, then the davening, it's the only time that you're talking to anybody about this. It's the only time you really talk. It's the only time you're really being heard. You said your wife was hurt. Your wife heard you. Your kids heard you. It's a big suffix. Maybe yes, maybe no. And even if they heard what you said, they didn't understand what you said. The whole world. That's all anybody ever says. He doesn't understand me. She doesn't understand me. When you get what you want, then you say, "Now he understands." Who understands anybody? Who b'chlal is only listening with one ear? And even if they're listening to you with one ear, or let's say they listen to you with both ears, they b'chlal understand what you're talking about. So you think you're on the phone, you're talking to, and you're be'emes talking to somebody. That's a mechuyav hametzias. And then you go to daven, or you sang a bracha. I don't know. It's a cloud. It's not just about trusting. It's a whole different way of thinking. It's a whole different way of living. That's what Bitachon is. Umoytzehi es matirasa bebituya. This knowledge that the neshama knows that God exists, nothing else, only God is mechuyav hametzias, it finds an expression in davening. Davening is the most wonderful opportunity to enter back into that and to be feel I'm once again in that place that's called mechuyav hametzias. It's the most wonderful experience of being, of the drop coming back to the ocean, of being in that place of mechuyav hametzias, and that bigger mitzias of what the true mitzias is. It's that. But that's not what we feel. And with our physical senses, we don't feel like that. You feel it when you're on the phone. That now I'm talking to somebody. I remember when I was a kid, we went to they took us to the planetarium. There's a planetarium that's next door to the museum. You know what I'm talking about? Hayden Planetarium. It's a famous place. I guess it's still there. Some Chuyah Metzias. I don't know if it is. Or it's not there. It's an old place. When they took us when we were kids. So I found it to be very relaxing. You know, you get to like look back and it was annoying because the guy kept on talking. But it was still better than being in school. And I remember that the guy was saying that when you look at the star, like when you're looking at a star in the sky, could be it's not even there anymore. You know, because the light takes so long to get to Earth, right? It's a mahalach. These stars are very far away. It's even further than the Catskills. It's far away. These stars. There is such a place beyond the Catskills. It's far away. And until the light gets to Earth, it could take a chreis, but however they measure time, light years. That means it could be that Be'emes, that star, is already charev. It's already gone. And just until the light reported over here to Earth, until we actually could see the light of this star, could be that it's already over Bakr. There's nothing there. There's mamash nothing there. So twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. There could be nothing. It just could be a light that took light years to get to our eyes. It's not even there. The whole Metzius. But we don't experience it like that. We experience it that this is the Mechuyav Metzius. What about Ruchnius? That's where you can have a person, he'll talk, he loves to talk about the Gemara, he'll talk to you about Halacha, and it's all interesting, he'll talk Shnayim Achzim Atalas, he can talk, and he loves, but the second you get into something which is like more Ruchniistic type of Torah, then the feeling is, well, then the feeling is, what are you, do me a favor, what is this, what are you talking about? Which is one of the great dangers of learning Kabbalah, which the Kabbalah spoke about. It's very hard for us to think in terms of Ruchnius. So when you read the Mesholim that we have from the Ariya Kaddish and so on about Tzimtzum and Chala Panui and the Kav and the Rosh, Rishima and the Rosh, so you start to imagine physical things. And there are even descriptions of Zoch and the Kaiva in Kabbalah. And therefore people start to think about these things physically. Because we're only thinking about the Moshe, we don't think about the Nimshel. So we like you take a kid and you see he has one cup and he has two. So how many kids? How many cups? There are two cups. So then you take all the cups away and you say, how much is 1 plus 1? The kid goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Nochamo. What do you have over here? One cup. The kid says, yeah, one cup. Put them together. What do you got? Two cups. Good. Take away all the cups. How much is 1 plus 1? I don't know. I mean the kid's not doing well, but. I don't know. But I don't know. I knew before when the cups were there. Now that I don't see anything. So I don't know how that works. So what's happening is at that very beginning of thinking, the child's in a place of tremendous katnas, and he's only able to think about the marshal. So the cup is a marshal for number one. But he can't think of the nimshal on its own. So that's why he has to have something concrete in front of him, the two cups. And a person who does not able to think in a more advanced way, see, he can only think of the marshal, not the nimshal. The whole world is a marshal. And there are some people that can't think that they don't see the nimshal as being real. But we understand that number one is a much deeper reality than two cups. The number two is a much deeper reality than two pieces of material. Much deeper. Infinitely deeper. But I don't think in an abstract way. So you have people when it comes to Ruchnius, I don't know, that's not for me. I don't mind talking about Shneimarks and Metallus, but do me a favor with this Kedushas Levi, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know, it's not for me, it's not for me. So this God is also not for me. That's why he prefers to talk about any time. He prefers to talk about two cows and an ox than to talk about God. Because at least the cows and the ox he saw on the farm, but God he never met. The ox, okay, I'll talk about an ox, I don't mind talking about an ox. It's a good svar. But God, I never saw him. I never saw him. I'll just, next time we'll finish the piece and we'll put the last paragraph.